the gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That same day Jesus went out of the house, sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there while the crowds stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. The birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky soil, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seed fell on good soil and brought forth grain. Some 100, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So this is my favorite parable by Jesus. It's just in the wrong gospel. At both my commissioning as an associate in ministry, my ordination as a pastor, as well as all of my installations, this has been the gospel text, just the one from Mark, which is the original. Now, I'm not sure why this is my favorite parable, because I definitely don't have the gardening gene. I can keep my lawn maintained, I can do the hardscaping, cut the grass, trim, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to planting and growing things, my interest and ability is small, to say the least. But in this story of soil and seed and the fruit that is produced, we find a story by which Jesus is telling us something about how the reign of God will appear in this world. So a little bit of context. In chapter 12, the one just preceding this, Jesus has been about his ministry. He's been healing and teaching. He's been casting out demons, and he has encountered opposition. Disbelief about who he is, to the point that the Pharisees, we are told, are trying to destroy him. At least one commentator believes that this parable in chapter 13 is the answer to a question that is raised in that last chapter. Why do some people not believe? Why did some people not believe? It's the same thing that those faithful gathered to hear the gospel of Mark read to them would have asked, right? Some of them have lost family because they believed in Jesus and the rest of their kin did not, and those folks disowned them. We might have similar kinds of questions today. Why is this church growing and that one failing? Why are there fewer followers of Jesus in the U.S. who exhibit the marks of the church that Martin Luther identified? Proclamation of the word, celebration of the sacraments of bath and table, forgiveness and correction of sin, the office of ministry, pastors, deacons, and those who are directly responsible for those first four things. public and communal worship and prayer and the cross. A people who endure persecution for their faithfulness to God. And Jesus' answer to that question is to tell us a parable. Applying that trick of rabbis and teachers everywhere of not telling us an outright answer, but giving us a story to help us think what the answer might be, a trick that helps that answer endure in a way that a very specific one would not. So we have some key components in the story, right? We've got seed, we've got sower, we've got soil, we've got fruit. So the sower goes out to do what? Right! That's the definition of what it means to be a sower. A sower sows, right? Scatters the seed. And what? Well, I just gave you the answer. What does the sower sow? The seed, right? Which, when planted and all things going right, grows. But even outside of the parable in the real world, that's not always right, is it? When you plant, it don't always grow. And Jesus provides us some examples. If we take some seed and we throw it out on the concrete sidewalk in front of the church, is it going to grow? Yeah, not likely. If it's sown on the rocky soil just in front, will it grow? Well, it might. We got our purple flower. But it'll spring up quick. But it doesn't have a strong root system. It can't get deep in the soil and have resources. And so when the sun rises, it'll get broiled, right? If it's sown among the weeds, they grow up with it. They out-compete the plant for resources, and it doesn't produce anything. But when it hits good soil, soil that's been turned and amended and prepared, then you get some amazing returns. 30, 60, 100 times what is sown. And then Jesus goes into explanation mode, right? Okay, so what does the seed represent? The word, specifically the word of the kingdom of God. We would talk about it as the gospel, the proclamation of and about Jesus, the Son of God, who John tells us came not to condemn the world, but to save it from itself. So the seed sown on the path that gets eaten by the birds, these are people who hear the word, but they don't understand it. Literally, the word is they don't synthesize it. They can't put it together in their heart and in their lives. And so that word is snatched from them. Doesn't even have a chance to start growing. The seeds sown on the rock are the enthusiasts. We know folks like this, right? They immediately receive this life-giving word with joy, and they make it their own, briefly excited about it, right? But because they have no root within themselves, that's literally what the language is, because there's no support for this life of the word within their own habits, being in a community, when times become tough, because they're following Jesus as they are called to do, when there's constriction on their lives, when people start to hound them because of this faith in God, they're immediately tripped up. The Greek word is they are scandalized. But it means they're tripped up by it, and they drop the word like a hot potato. And it does nothing. We know folks like this. Something new comes along. Man, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But suddenly when things get difficult, yeah, okay. Right? The seeds sown among the weeds are like people who hear the word, but other things come in and it crowds it out. The anxiety and divisions of the world, the lure of and false hope of wealth, other things that seem to be more important, choke out the word and it doesn't bear fruit. It just outcompetes it. The seed sown on good soil, those are the ones who not only hear the word, but they understand it. They synthesize it. They put it together in their hearts and in their lives. And these are the ones who bear great fruit, which is, Matthew says, that's kind of the goal of faith, to bear great fruit. Fruit that is several, many times bigger than themselves. So the seed is the word of God, the gospel, the good news. But who's the sower? Who's the sower in the parable? Well, yeah, you might do the Sunday school answer, Jesus. If it's not Jesus, the other one is love, right? So it might be Jesus, but now, until Jesus comes again, who are we all? Yeah, because we are the body of Christ, right? We are the visible sign of God's presence in the world, so we are the sowers. Who are the soils? It's everyone around us. Maybe it's even us at times, on any given day. So what do we know about the seed? Well, it's a precious commodity, right? Outside the world of the parable, the seed is the means by which individuals and whole communities are fed, right? Because that's the crops that we eat. So it's a trusting thing, because when you plant it, you are taking food out of your mouth to plant for the hope of food in the future. So without the seed, we starve. So how do we treat this important commodity? Do you hoard it? Are you careful with it? Well, is that the example of the story, to hoard it? No. By all accounts, they are wasting the seed by sowing it in places where there is no to little chance of it bearing fruit. They're wasting the seed by putting it on the rock, on the hard soil, right? Throwing it on the concrete. That's a waste. In the rocky soil, that's a waste. And even amongst the thorns, that's a waste. But the sower spreads that stuff everywhere without discrimination. So that maybe answers the question, is the seed in limited supply? No. Apparently not. So the word is valuable, it's important, it's essential even for our lives, but it's not limited. And so it gets spread everywhere, even in places where it doesn't look like it's likely to grow. The sower is just a seed spewing machine. And so if we are the sower, what is it that we are to be doing according to this parable? Sowing that seed, the word, this valuable and limited resource everywhere and always. We are to be seed-spewing machines. So why do we tend to keep this word to ourselves? Right? It might be, for most of us, some form of that cultural heritage of Scandinavians and Germans that tend to be kind of very private individuals, etc. Maybe. Or maybe it's because, like Jesus, we'll get flack for it. Remember back on June 25th when we learned that we are called to speak truth? And sometimes when we speak the truth, even in love, to someone who isn't ready to hear it, we get a response back that is more than negative. Or just look at chapter 12 in Matthew in the response to Jesus. Proclaiming the good news of God in Jesus Christ, living our lives under the reign of God, will draw trouble from those who just don't get it and who feel threatened by it. But when we affirm our baptism, one of the things that we promise, that we swear to do for the rest of our lives, or at least strive to do for the rest of our lives, is to proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ through word and deed. To tell of the love of God in Jesus Christ that we have experienced and that we have witnessed in others. To go and love others as God in Jesus has loved us. Because what happens if we do? Well, sometimes nothing, right? There are factors beyond the sower's control. But when that word hits good soil, what happens? Oh, amazing things. Lives transformed. God's love blossoming in communities and among people. Peace, justice, mercy, grace. That's Matthew's definition of good fruit. That's the produce of the seed of God's word in us shown forth in our lives. Now, in the parable, does the sower have anything to do with whether the soil produces or not? What is their job? To sow, by definition. To spread the seed everywhere, regardless of whether we think we know what the result will be or not. So who does the result depend upon? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, God, ultimately. So if we take the parable and we move it into the real world, when you plant a seed out in your garden or on your farm, if you put it in good soil, even if you put it in good, prepared, amended soil, ultimately, what decides if it comes up or not? Rain, sun, the natural processes within that and the interaction with that soil and the seed, and who created that process? God, right? Who spoke the world into being. Maybe this is why, as a Christian who happens to be a Lutheran, this is why I love this parable so much, because it reinforces one of the most distinctive things about our understanding of God and how God works in the world. How this faith thing works. It's a third article of the creed thing. We believe that we cannot, by our own understanding or strength, believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him. But it is the Holy Spirit present. We believe, we trust, we hope in the word spoken and lived, as well as in these sacraments of bath and table. This Holy Spirit is what calls, gathers, enlightens, makes holy. In other words, in faith, the growth of the seed is God's doing. Unlike some of our evangelical siblings in Christ, we don't believe we have to get someone across the line of faith. What is our responsibility, though? To sow, to proclaim the good news of God and Jesus Christ in word and deed everywhere at all times without ceasing and without discrimination. To sow the seed, to be what we are. And that may at some point be as simple as loving them with the same wild abandon God and Jesus has loved us. The rest is up to God. And I don't know about you, but that's a relief to me. Whew. Right? I can talk. You know that. I can also live in love and trust that God and the Spirit will work in God and the Spirit's own time. Our only job is to sow the word. And that may be one answer as to why the Christian church is kind of fizzling out in North America. When I first noticed this back in the early to mid-aughts when I was at First Lutheran, I kind of thought about it and said, well, there's three possibilities that I could come up with. The first is that, honestly, all of this and what we do is just a fantasy. It's just something that was made up by ancient people way back when, and we've kind of grown beyond that. The second possibility is that our Calvinist siblings in Christ are correct. And what we are seeing is the emergence of what they call the elect. They have an understanding that not everybody who's in church actually is amongst the saved, and sense societal pressures to be in church and the value of that is disappearing. Now we are seeing the elect emerge. But the third possibility is that we have not been proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, but something else. Because the promise is, if we spread the word everywhere, always, without discrimination, with the abandon and obliviousness of Jesus, then it will grow. And maybe we just need to be about the simple difficulty of doing that. Sowing the true gospel. And having it sown upon us too, right? Time and again. Because we are not only, this is another good Lutheran thing, we are both and, right? We are not only sower, but we are soil. Because there's some mornings, I have to admit, on the path, hardened to God's love and how it calls me to love others, and that word just bounces right off. And sometimes when I have not prepared my soil through prayer and worship and fellowship, I am the enthusiast who just runs out of steam when it gets too hard. And many times I am the seed sown among the thorns, other things, especially those other things I yoke my life to, right? Out competes the word sown in me, and the fruits of the Spirit do not come to fruition in me. I get to be more about, I got to put this program out or that thing out, right? Those other things become more important in my life than Jesus and the God who created me. Now, Martin Luther said we could not make ourselves believe, but we do have the ability to put ourselves in a position to have that word sown upon us. In other words, we could place ourselves at jeopardy of being faithed, right? We can choose to encounter the word by reading and hearing it daily, through prayer, with a community of faith gathered around word and sacrament in fellowship, where we practice both confession and forgiveness of sin in a community of people of differing soils, but all of whom have met the sower in their lives. And the promise is that that seed will take root in us again. It'll pop up in the unlikeliest of places too, kind of like our purple flower out front, right? You never know. So this is a rich and full text. There are lots to explore. I could keep going and I won't. But maybe this summary that I wrote in my notes about this summer and what we've been talking about best encapsulates what I hope you will ponder from today. We are to spread the seed everywhere to everyone at all times. We are to receive the seed always. And when we do both those things, Jesus promises what comes of that seed will be amazingly abundant life that truly is life. And the yield of it will be incredible fruit. Thanks be to God. I invite us to stay.